excites me when I know it's from the Lord, when I know He gives me a message. And sometimes you got to do some digging. And sometimes you'll have a thought, and it'll be just like this right here. It'll just be a little note, a little chicken scratch on a piece of paper in the back of your Bible for 2 or 3 years. And you'll just think on it and chew on it until the Lord gives you a message out of it. And when He does, you got to do some digging, and you got to do some studying, and you got to do some getting in there. And then sometimes it's like God just spoon feeds it to you right there all at one time. And I've had it happen both ways many a times. And I just love the way the Lord works, and I love when He gives me a message. And I was reading today in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'll invite you to turn with me there here this evening. The 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. And there's some interesting things that happen with the life of Abraham. I've been studying a little bit in the life of Abraham. You know, we've been going through Hebrews chapter number 11 in our Sunday nights, talking about our heroes of the faith and our different types of aspects and attributes of faith, if you will. We've been going through those on Sunday night, and last Sunday night was our first message on Abraham, and I believe we're going to spend a little bit more time with Abraham on Sunday nights as well. But I was also reading, it just so happened that it coincided with what I've been reading in my Bible reading in the early chapters of the Old Testament in Genesis chapter number 18. And I read some interesting things regarding Abraham and his dialogue with the Lord in the first parts of this chapter, and you'll see what I mean in just a moment. In this chapter, you'll know this is leading into God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham beseeches God, or Abraham tries to intercede, if you will, for Sodom for the sake of Lot and his family. He has family there, and so there he asks God, he says, if you can find 50 righteous, will you spare that city? And God says that He will. And Abraham asks if he would find 45 righteous, if he would spare that city. And God says that He will. And Abraham goes ahead again and asks for 40, and then for 30, and he asks for 10. If he would find 10 righteous, would he spare the city? And God tells him that He would. And we read from the account later on in the chapter that the only ones who decided to leave were Lot and his wife and his daughters, and they were led by the hand by these angels that come with the Lord to Abraham in the 18th chapter, and that the son-in-laws of Lot, even themselves, they chose to stay in their rebuttal towards God and their hatred towards the holy things of God. And the Bible says that the sins of these people in these cities was so grievous against the Lord that He decided to rain down judgment with hellfire and brimstone on these cities, completely encapsulating them with the judgment of God and destroying them utterly. See, sin is nothing to toy with. Sin is nothing to play with. Sin will wreck you in your lives. And Abraham, as he entreats the Lord, as he proceeds this intercession for Sodom, it's an interesting way that the Lord comes to Abraham. And I just want to read a little bit of it in Genesis chapter number 18. And I pray that you'll follow along with me. In verse number 1, the Bible says this: "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, now I have found favor in thy sight. Pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch you a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make the cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." And if the Lord would help me this evening, and I pray that He would, because He sure has helped me in my study today and when He gave me this message, I want to preach on this thought: when God stops by. When God stops by. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy. And Lord, I pray that You just have Your will and Your way in our hearts and our minds tonight as we would seek to
glorify you through the preaching. Lord, may it not just fall on deaf ears, but Lord, might it saturate our hearts. And Lord, show us something in the Scriptures, Lord, that might help us to love you more. Help me to preach with power and with love and with a sound mind, with clarity of thought. And I'll give you all the thanks for it, Lord, for truly you are worthy for all of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is a very interesting passage of Scripture, if you will, and it's oftentimes been a hotly contested passage of Scripture among theologians and Bible scholars regarding these visitors to come to Abraham. There are many a people that would doubt, and many a people that would say that these were angels or these were just men and this wasn't necessarily God in the flesh. But if that's the case, then they sure do have a problem with the rest of the chapter from the beginning to the end. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Later on in the chapter, he will be addressed as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your Old Testament. That is Jehovah God. That is His name. And the Jehovah God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Amen. He's the same exact person. And in this passage of Scripture right here, we find a dialogue between Abraham and these guests, if you will, that have stopped by to see him and to deal with him regarding the sins of Sodom and regarding his family and regarding the covenants and the promises of God to be made and all these things. And you can study those a little bit further as you go into the further chapters of the book of Genesis. But I do want to focus a little bit tonight on just the 8 verses that we've read and some things that we can find that I believe that we can directly apply to our lives tonight as Christians, and that is what to do when God stops by, or rather what will happen when God stops by. There are some common denominators that I'd like for us to notice in the life of Abraham regarding this passage of Scripture. And first and foremost, I'd like to show you Abraham's obedience. Abraham's obedience. Look in verse number 1. The Bible says this, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, if you read several chapters further on in your Bible, I read it today, but I can't quite remember how many chapters further it was. This same place will be identified, these plains of Mamre will be identified directly in the Scriptures as the Canaan land. You know, oftentimes through the songs that we sing and the doctrine that we preach and the truth that we expound from the Word of God, that this was the very land that God had promised to Abraham. This was the very land that God, when He had made His covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12 to get up out of the land of his fathers and go to a land that God would show him and that He would give him for an inheritance, a land that floweth with milk and honey, that this is the very land that Abraham's feet have trodden upon in this passage of Scripture that God would promise to Abraham. Now later, Abraham's going to mess up again. He's going to leave. He's going to make some mistakes. But for the time being and in the context of this particular passage of Scripture, God has Abraham exactly where He wants him, and Abraham is in the center of God's will for all that we know. And in the Scriptures it tells us that he was in the plains of Mamre, so he's found himself in the place where God wants him. And I think that it's interesting, the details of the passage of Scripture. I believe that every word, every jot, every tittle, every punctuation of the Word of God is inspired. I believe that it's all God breathed. Amen. And it's so specific in this passage of Scripture to tell us of this account. And it says, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. The heat of the day. Now, I've been over there. I've been to Israel. I've been to this land. I've been to this place they speak of. And many a times you go and there are lush and green and beautiful places that are built up with plenty of vegetation. There's lots of places that are not that way, that are desert and that are dry and that are rocky and that are barren. But one thing is for sure, when the sun is sitting high in the sky in the middle of the day, friend, you know it. You can feel it. And the Bible gives us this description of Abraham and said that he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. How many of y'all been camping before? You've been camping, okay? So you set up, I'm not talking about with an RV, I'm not talking about a motorhome, I'm not against that, but I'm talking about old-fashioned in-a-tent camping. I've gone camping several times. The last time I went camping, I was down at Pipestem at the State Forest there in West Virginia, and I went with some fellas from a Sunday school class there at Taze Valley, and we went. And we had all kinds of things planned throughout the day. We were fishing. We were playing football. We were hiking the trails. We were doing this. We were doing that. We had devotions. We were preaching. We were having all kinds of fun. And several times throughout that day, I would have to go back and forth between that tent and wherever I was going. And I can tell you this, I didn't want to stay in that tent very long. You know why? It's because that tent packs that heat in it. That tent packs that humidity in it. Nobody goes camping and just sits in their tent, amen. They go camping to sit outside. And they're in this tent and it packs that heat in there. I'd get in there, I'd get whatever I needed as quick as I could, and I'd get out. And here we find Abraham, no doubt. He's sitting at the edge of the tent door because he's not going to be in that tent under the heat. And he's sitting there because he's expecting something. I believe that maybe even perhaps that morning, as Abraham would have got up and done his own morning devotions and his own prayers, that God would have given him some kind of a heads up, or God would have told him. And Abraham, he sits at the door of the tent with expectancy, and here we find him in the will of God. But you know what I believe? I believe that Abraham was a man subject to like passions, just as we are, so as all the other men in the Bible are. And let me tell you something about sitting under that tent in the heat of the day. If I was Abraham, I believe the devil was up on his shoulder saying, weren't things better back home? Weren't things better back in the land of Ur when you had those buildings already packed up and built out, and the walls were thick and it was nice and cool inside, and you had them built down into the ground where you wouldn't have to sit in this heat, and you wouldn't have to keep moving this tent, and you wouldn't have to keep moving all these things, and the devil's trying to work on Abraham, I believe. But Abraham thinks to himself, he says, no, God told me to get out of that land. God told me to separate myself from this land and from this people, and God told me to go to this place. We see a great display of Abraham's obedience. And no doubt, sometimes if we're obeying God, if we're in the center of God's will for our lives, there's going to be some times that we're going to question. There's going to be some times that we wonder. There's going to be some times that the devil will try and sow doubt and try and sow discord and all these things. And let me say this about when God shows up or when God stops by. Let me say this, that getting in the presence of God isn't just about getting to where He is. I know we're supposed to seek the face of the Lord. I know that we're supposed to pursue God. I know the Bible says, draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to you. But every now and then, it's about being where God told you to be and being there when He shows up. Amen. I believe that that's where Abraham was. He was sitting in that hot tent. He was sitting there wondering, what's going on? Why am I here? What's God's purpose for all these things? And God just so happened to drop by. Amen. I'm glad for those times that God drops by in our lives. I'm glad for those times that we're doing our best and we're being patient, we're obedient to the will of God, and God the Holy Ghost to come by and squeeze our hearts in fellowship with us. I'm glad for those times we can feel the presence of God. When God stops by, I want us to notice that it was because of Abraham's obedience. Imagine the way the adversary was working on him. In the heat of that day, in the door of that tent, Abraham's thinking, what am I doing here? I'm sure it was hotter than blue blazes, but God had Abraham exactly where He wanted him, and Abraham was obedient to that will. Not only do we see Abraham's obedience, secondly, we see Abraham's obeisance. Abraham's obeisance. That's a Bible word. It's not used oftentimes today, and what it means is to humble yourself before someone, to give honor to someone. You see over there in the European countries where they have monarchies and all those things, when people come into the presence of that royalty, they get down on one knee, they bow themselves. What they're doing is they're giving obeisance to them. Joseph had that dream, and those stars came and they bowed before him and they gave obeisance. Speaking of his brothers and his family, they were honoring him. They were bowing themselves before him. And I want us to look at Abraham's obeisance to God in this passage of Scripture. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. I was reading one commentator today, and I got excited when I got to thinking about this. He says, we need to remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about Abraham. We're talking about the wealthiest man in the land. We're talking about this man that has all this cattle, all this riches, all this influence, all these servants. He's basically the head of the house right here of all these people, this family that he's called out of that land and he's led out of there that have chosen to follow him. Abraham is the head honcho, so to say. And Abraham, he sits in the door of this tent. No doubt it was the most beautiful tent. No doubt it was the most well decorated. No doubt it had the most things inside of it, and there were servants all around it at Abraham's beck and call, ready to go. And oftentimes we fail to realize that Abraham was a man of great influence, a man of great power, no doubt a well esteemed and dignified man. And even Abraham, in the position that he was in, when he sees God, when God stops by, he runs to him. Amen. You know, I think one of the most dangerous things in Christianity, one of the most dangerous things in the ministry today is people trying to professionalize everything. Listen to me. The ministry is not a profession. The ministry is not an occupation. It is just that, a ministry. Amen? And they try and professionalize these things. And they say, well, there's a cookie-cutter method way to do it, and you got to do this, and you got to say this, and you can't walk out from behind the pulpit and you preach, and you got to do this and that, all this stuff that you hear at the Bible colleges. Let me tell you something, friend. When God gets in the mix, when God shows up, none of that stuff is going to matter. And Abraham, the Bible says that he ran to God. He ran to Him. The Bible says that he ran from the tent door. And the Bible says, right here in verse number 2, he ran to the tent door and bowed himself before the ground. He bowed himself before the ground. No doubt, Abraham, who had been the leader of this whole thing from the get-go when God called him out, he'd been God's man. Abraham stoops himself down and gets down on his face before God. My Bible says, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us in due time. Abraham realized this wasn't just another king, this wasn't just another ruler, and this wasn't quite Pharaoh that he had dealt with before. This was Jehovah God. And Abraham bowed himself before the Lord. We're missing that in a lot of our Christian lives. A lot of people are missing a reverence and a respect for the things of God and for the house of God, for that matter. Listen to me, friends. Spiritual matters are important things in your life. I dare say it's the most important aspect of your life is your spirituality and your walk with God. And many a times, people just push it off to the side and it's kind of like a hobby for them. It's kind of like something to fall back on. If you were to ask them who they were, they'd say, well, I'm a ball player, and I'm a great golfer, and I'm a great fisherman, and I'm this and that, and I'm this and that, and I'm also a Christian. Listen to me, friend. If you're a child of God, that should be the number one thing on your list. When somebody asks you who you are, there's that song I like, and they say, if somebody asks who I am, tell them that I have been redeemed. Amen. It's not important who I am. It's important who He is. It's not important who I am. It's important whose I am. Amen. Who I belong to, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham, he recognized that and he bows himself down. I wonder what those servants were thinking. Those servants were back there looking at each other thinking, do we get down too? I mean, look at Abraham. Look where he's at. Look what he's doing. Abraham showed obeisance. Verse number 3 says, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. You know what Abraham's saying? He's saying, listen, I'll do anything to keep you here. I'll do anything to just keep you here with me, where I can fellowship with you, where I can commune with you. And a truly humble spirit is going to produce the utmost appreciation and gratitude for the presence of God. You ever been in a church service so good you just didn't want to leave? You just linger. You just want to hang around a while. It doesn't matter how long the preacher preaches. It don't matter how long you sing. It don't matter how long the invitation goes. You just want to be there because God is there. If we'd humble our hearts before God, come to church with some expectancy, come to church ready for God to meet with us, I believe that'll happen. Amen. God's going to show up where He's welcome. Amen? Amen. He doesn't feel welcome. Listen to me. We've talked about it before. We preached about it before. The Holy Ghost is the most sensitive person you'll ever interact with. It's as simple as not having your heart right. It's as simple as having the wrong attitude. It's as simple as having sin in your heart. It's as simple as having something at odds between you and God. And you come to the house of God and everybody's shouting and everybody's praising God and you keep checking your watch saying, what time are we getting out of here? Listen to me. Abraham said, I don't want you to go. He said, Lord, I hope I've pleased you. I hope I've done what's right in your sight. If now I've found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. He didn't want him to go. He didn't want him to depart because he loved him. I believe Abraham loved God. We see Abraham's obedience. We see Abraham's obeisance. And last but not least, and I hope and I pray that we can examine our own lives with this portion of the Scripture, we see Abraham's offering. Abraham's offering. And the Bible says, Abraham speaking to these men, speaking to the Lord, he says, let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. You know why they did that in the Old Testament? You know, well, oftentimes people would walk and their feet would get hot and their feet would get dirty and they'd be matted with dirt and all these things. And it was customary if you were welcoming to someone, if you were kind to someone, you offer them a little saucer of water to wash their feet. And if you really wanted them to stay, you could get down there and you'd wash your feet themselves. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ and how He humbled Himself in the sight of men, being God Himself in the flesh, got down and washed the dirty, stinking feet of the disciples. Why is that? He wanted to display that character. He wanted to be that example to them. Amen. Hey, you can never go wrong trying to be like Jesus. And this man, they come to him in verse number 4, and Abraham, he says, let me give you a little bit of water. He said, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. He says, I want you to stay. There's something about when God shows up, you want to bless Him while He's there. Amen. I see a lot of people, listen to me, and I'm not getting on somebody. If you're not the shouting type, if you're not into carrying on, if you don't want to run a lap every once in a while, I'm not getting on you. I'm just saying this. When God gets in the house, you better give Him the glory. Amen. You better testify when He says to testify. You better shout when He tells you to shout. You better stand up when He tells you to stand up. My goodness, if He tells you to run and take a lap, it's not going to bother me, friend. As long as you're obedient to the Holy Ghost of God every once in a while, you got to bless Him when He shows up. Amen. We're to bless Him. We're to praise Him. We're to give Him the honor. We're to give Him the glory. I like what it says in verse number 4. The Lord kind of pointed this out to me. I was thanking God for it. It says right here, it says, and rest yourselves under the tree. God had promised all this land to Abraham. God had promised all these things to Abraham. And it's very specific in the way it mentions this tree. Because listen to me, Abraham owned more than one tree, okay? Abraham owned more trees than we've probably ever even seen. And what does the Bible say? It says, rest yourselves under the tree. You know what I believe Abraham was saying? Abraham was saying, I want you under this tree. This is the biggest tree we got. It's got the best shade. This is the coolest. There might have been some kids playing there. There might have been some people over there. And he run them off. He said, listen to me. We got to clear this place out. I want God to be here. I want God to be comfortable. I want God to enjoy Himself while He's here with us. Part of Abraham's offering, he wanted to give his very best to God. He says, come and rest yourselves under the tree. Amen. He wasn't going to bring him in that hot old tent. He offered him the best shade tree on his land, I believe. In verse number 5, the Bible says, Abraham, he's still speaking to these angels. He's still speaking to the Lord Jesus. And he says, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall come, after that you shall pass on for that, after you come unto your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Listen to me, friend. If you offer to bless God, if you offer to do service for God, if you want to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as everything in here is clean and as long as everything in here in your heart is right, God's not going to refuse it, okay? Because truthfully and honestly, God's worthy of a whole lot more glory than anybody in here could give Him and all of us put together combined, friend. God is worthy of so much more honor and so much more praise and so much more glory. There's no way we in our finite minds could even comprehend how much glory and how much honor He deserves. And Abraham says, I want to do this for you. I want to do this for you. And he says, so do as ye have said. Listen to me, friend. If you're doing it with the right intentions and you're doing it with the right heart, God's not going to refuse it. Amen. It don't matter who you are either. Verse number 5, Abraham's offering this praise to God. He's offering these things before Him. In verse number 6, I like how specific the Bible says, and Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Let's take a minute and just put our finger on some of these words right here. Abraham what? Hastened into the tent. Said, make ready what? Quickly. 3 measures of what? Fine meal. He said, don't get that meal that you got on the bargain shelf for half off because it's getting ready to expire in 2 weeks or whatever. He says, get the fine meal. Get the best stuff. He says, get on the stove and make these cakes up. And we want to treat our guests. We want to give them our very, very best. Abraham wasn't interested in giving them leftovers. Amen. Abraham realized that the time he had with him and the time that he was spending with them was precious, and he wanted to give them everything he could. I like what the Bible says in verse number 7. Look at it with me. And Abraham ran unto the herd. He's still running. He ran as soon as they got there, and he's still running. He's already took them under the shade tree. He's already greeted them. He's already bowed down. He's probably cried. He's probably hooped and hollered and got excited and praised the Lord a little bit, and he's still excited. And he runs into the tent, and he gets there. He tells her to make the cakes, and he's going out to get the calf down. He's still running. Friend, when you get in the presence of God, it seems like nothing can slow you down. And the Bible says that he ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good. Abraham didn't just run and reach over the fence while he was running and grab the first calf he saw. Now, I believe he opened that gate and he went in there and he asked that herdsman and he asked that servant. He said, what's the best one you got? He said, what's the prettiest one? What's the biggest one? What's the strongest one? He said, what's the best calf you got? And they brought it to him and he said, this is the one that we're going to give to God. This is the one that we're going to give to these people and the guests of the Lord. My friend, God's not interested in our second best. God's not interested. He never calls anybody to half obedience. Amen. Half obedience is full disobedience as far as the Lord is concerned. He's interested in your very, very best. I imagine it would have grieved the Lord. Abraham would have walked out there and said, that lamb was born crippled and it's got that tumor hanging off of it. It's got those crooked eyes. We'll just get rid of that one. But many a times in our Christian life, we say, God, all this is mine, but I got this. I'll give this to you. Abraham wasn't interested in that. The Bible says he got a calf tender and good. And some of those carnal herdsmen that still had that worldly view from that land that they came from probably thought to themselves, man, that would have made a fine ox. That would have made a fine bull. That would have made a fine worker. Man, that would have got so big. You'd have been able to work that thing to death. You'd have been able to plow all this land, and when it was done, it had fed you for 4 months. What in the world is Abraham thinking? But Abraham's not thinking along worldly lines. Amen. Abraham's thinking about spiritual, heavenly things. Abraham's thinking, I got God here with me. God has showed up, and I want to give Him my best. Look what the Bible says. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. Woo! Yeah, I didn't even think about this till just now. I'm getting excited, okay? Now, Abraham's been doing all the running. He's been doing all the hasting, and he's probably got Sarah all freaked out in there trying to whip up those cakes and make those things. But now we see this boy hasting. And I didn't even think about this today. God just gave this to me. He's got this boy hasting. Listen, when you get on fire for God and you decide you want to give your best for God and you want to give an offering, it's going to rub off on somebody else. Amen? And that boy sees Abraham. He sees Abraham's all excited. He sees Abraham's been crying. He sees Abraham's been praising the Lord. He grabs a hold of that calf and he whips it up and he dresses it the best way he can. And they bring it before the Lord and his guests, and the Bible says this in verse number 8, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. The last thing I want to show you tonight, right here, verse number 8, about Abraham's offering. He stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. You'd have thought Abraham's worked his tail off, he's run around, he's tired. You figure he'll sit down for a while and fellowship with him. Just sit down a minute and rest and commune with him. Abraham knew that wasn't his place. He gave that to them. He served that to them. He gave them those cakes. He gave them that lamb and that butter and all these things, this beautiful feast. And he sits it down before him under that tree. And the Bible says that he stood by. You know what he's doing? He's assuming the place of a servant. No doubt there were people that stood around that tent as Abraham would eat. No doubt there were people when Abraham would sleep and they're in this strange land and they're pilgrims and they don't know what's coming next at them. No doubt there were men who stood guard by his tent and waited and watched for the enemy to assail and to come while Abraham slept. But Abraham knew when it came to this man, something was different, and that he was to step back and say, no, this is for you. This is about you. This ain't about me. He stood by him. And you know, Abraham could have done all these things. He did do all these things for the Lord. He brought him the water. He washed their feet. He had the best cakes made for him. He brought the best calf to him. You know what I believe probably pleased the Lord more than anything? Was while he sat there with those angels and looked at the smile on Abraham's face as he watched him eat and watched him enjoy that and communed and fellowship with him. Because Abraham did it with the right spirit. Abraham did it with the right heart. You want God to show up in your life? You want God to show up in this church? It's going to take obedience. If we're not obedient, He's not going to show up. It's going to take obedience. It's going to take obeisance. It's going to take us humbling ourselves before God. Amen? And it's going to take an offering. We've got to have something to offer Him. We've got to have some way to give Him the glory. Amen? That's why we go door knocking. That's why we invest as much as we can in these young people. That's why we go to the nursing home. That's why we do what we do. It's not to build a crowd. It's not to build a name or a reputation for a church. It's to glorify God. Amen. And to do that alone. Right. I don't know about you. I want God to show up. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight. I invite you to come to the altar. He's been on me today. I tell you, I want God to show up in my life. I want God to show up in my midst. And when He shows up, I want to give Him the glory. I want to give Him the honor. I want Him to be pleased with me. Christian, are you in the place God wants you to be? Are you in the center of God's will? Are you somewhere where you feel that God is going to visit you? I pray that's the case for you and myself. Christian, when's the last time you just bowed yourself before God and gave Him glory and gave Him obeisance? When's the last time you did something for the Lord? When's the last time you gave for the Lord? I'm not just talking about the offering plate either. When's the last time you gave your time? When's the last time you gave your effort? When's the last time you served? We got to do these things if we want God to show up. Now I believe I know everybody in here's heart, and I know each of you personally tonight, and I don't want to leave tonight without making sure that things are right with God. Maybe you don't feel God showing up because the only time He comes around is to convict you of your salvation. Maybe you've never truly been saved by the grace of God. Maybe you've never been born again. Every time that invitation comes around, you stiffen your neck and you harden your heart. And you say, not today, God. Why don't you get it right tonight? Why don't you get saved by the grace of God tonight? That's the most important thing you could ever do. You're not promised another church service. You're not promised another invitation. You're not promised another hour alive on this earth. My friend, our life is like a vapor that appears for a moment and vanishes away. You know not what tomorrow holds. My friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get that right tonight before it's too late. If you need to be saved, I invite you to the altar tonight. If you want God to show up in your life,